Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Tuesday, October 23rd. My name is Jim Schmiedeberg. I am joined, as always, by my friend, Eddie. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
Doing well. Hanging in there. You know, football season's starting to get, we're getting right in the thick of it.
Almost at the halfway point already.
Some teams are going in another direction, good directions, bad directions. Some teams are just staying the course of mediocrity.
Now, I have breaking New York Jets news. I don't know if you heard this.
Who said what they say already?
Well, this is
injury.
Mark Sanchez has just gone from in a relationship to single, as they say on Facebook nowadays. Apparently, Eva Longoria got a look at his quarterbacking skills and said, I could do better than this.
I'm not a fan of Eva, and screw her anyway.
Well, she's...
She already had one failed marriage to a basketball player. Stay away from that.
She's certainly making her way through the sports community, isn't she?
Yeah. And He can't hit that. He can't hit those receivers. So they make a good combo.
Now, since she was married to, what was his name? Tony Parker, right? The basketball player? Is that his name?
Umba.
And then he cheated on her. So that split up. Imagine,
of course.
See, and that just proves the old adage, you show me a hot girl and I'll show you the guy that's sick of her. Right?
Situation acts. Oh, I could go on a whole Eva Longoria thing.
Well, wait, let me just finish my little thing here. So she dated Tony Parker. He was a black guy. And then she moved on to Sanchez. He's a Puerto Rican, so he's next to the white guy.
Yeah, she's like the United Nations over there.
It's the Rainbow Coalition going in and out of her pants.
Oh, she's one of those chicks that's hot, but, oh, my God. You see why guys dump her? Maybe she dumped him. Who knows?
She dumped him, but was... The word I heard on the street, but
word street.
that's according
Liberty.
To our sources.
Sources.
It's direct from the Perez Hilton Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour Gossip Desk.
Yes, Rona Back will be joining us in about 20 minutes.
Etta Hopper.
Hey, Etta Hopper. Rona Back is still alive. I think she's a dead woman.
Probably.
Anywho, football was played on Sunday, and I don't know what you want to get to first, but I guess I have to get it out while I have the rage inside me.
We could start with the Jets. We usually do. We get the
okay.
Because usually we want to. Usually you want to vent a little. So we start with the Jets.
Well, you've been venting in other ways against. You know, Giant fans saying, you know crazy.
And I will vent again today when we get to the Giants, but go ahead.
Good. Well, my vent is towards the Jet fans who expected a victory against the New England Patriots and are so upset in fire Sperano, fire this guy, Rex Ryan, blah, 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 blah. They were 14-point underdogs going up there. They haven't won in the last three times. Last week, I think I said they have. I have memories of Steve Brogan, and then they show up, the Patriots, in those retro uniforms, and I thought, oh, shit, it may be. I'm back. We never went up there. The Jets never went up there.
It was Tony Easton alumni night.
Exactly. It's never a good thing. But let's face it, Jet fans. We fucking have nothing. We have zero. The only threat we got is Tebow. And it's apparent to me that he is not going to be the quarterback for more than two plays in a row. He's not getting a series. He's not getting two consecutive series. Look, they only designed six plays for him. We saw it on his wristband. They're playing the New England Patriots, who by far have an offensive team that blows the Jets out of the water. Tom Brady and Mark Sanchez, right there. Heads and above better than him. Their wide receiving core, all right. They spread the ball around. You know, so, you know, you can't get. But Gronkowski and Hernandez, and thank God they got Landry in the offseason, Rex, to cover Gronkowski, let me tell you. You shut him down only to two touchdowns. But to expect anything more from the Jets, you've got to be out of your mind. They have no Darrell Revis. Santonio Holmes, I don't even care about, but he at least is a guy that can playmake. They have no playmakers. Now, a lot of people are deeming this the game that nobody wanted to win, which could be true. And New England could have sealed the game, but what was it, McCourty or whatever that guy's name is, he fumbled. Jets gave away several. They let McCourty return a kick, which is not Jet-like. The special teams giving up a touchdown like that. The interceptions by the one pick Sanchez had, the fumble at the end of the game. So you go to overtime, that's all you can ask. Are you really that delusional that you think the Jets deserve to win a game and that if there's something could have changed in that game through the coaches? The Jets don't execute. They do not execute. Is that the coach?
Got to use that old John McKay line, Eddie. What do you think of your offense's execution? I'm in favor of it.
Exactly. I mean, Stephen Hill is dropping more balls. And Sanchez is not accurate. Again, I've said this over the weeks. He makes bad throws. And then when he makes a good throw, which is always like the 30, 40 yards, a real big play, the guy, it bounces off the guy's sternum. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, the Jets lost a heartbreaker. They had a chance to come back. Later in that game, Sanchez, again, was under a lot of pressure, and that was the doom of the Jets in overtime. He gets sacked, he fumbles the ball, game over. They had chances to win. They didn't win because the Jets will find a way to lose. And the good thing I took away from it is they could hang with the Patriots in New England. So that division, they're only a half game out, right?
I think so, yeah.
They can beat everybody in that division. I mean, they're going to hang with the Patriots, it looks like. So just looking. The Jets fan should set his sight on just finishing decent. Don't worry about Rex Ryan's, this team is a Super Bowl team or whatever he's going to say. If they can get to 8-8 and be respectable after the injuries that they have sustained, and to me, the kind of team they brought into this season, 8-8 is just fine. I know it's New England. I know it hurts. But come on. Brady didn't look all that good in that game either.
No.
I thought they would run more at New England. The Jets defense comes to play except with Cromartie. There's another guy. He blows an interception in the, I think, the fourth quarter. It could have won them the game. Another guy. It just, Jets cannot make big plays. They make big mistakes. Defense plays admirably. The offense, I'm so sick of it. Mark Sanchez is not, again, I'd rather have Phillip Rivers at this point. He's just going backwards. He's going backwards, literally. And it isn't because, that's another thing with these Jet fans. They gotta make a decision. You can't have, predominantly when they bring Tebow in and out and they do all that circus shit with Sanchez goes out for a pass, and it actually is productive, and Sanchez doesn't look like it disturbs his rhythm at all. It's been kind of working. I really think that your expectations got to come real down on the Jets now if you're a Jet fan. I think you should be happy that you got to overtime. I know it's a loss, but you had a chance to win a game, but don't freak out. That's all I got to say about that.
All right, can I start on the Jets?
Yeah, can you tell John Newman stop using the same stale joke he's been using since week one?
John Newman, stop telling. Stop. Yeah. You're like the Henny Youngman in the chat room. You yell. Yeah. Use an 80-year-old jokes here.
Take that joke and put it on a bye week.
Hire a comedy writer. He had a couple of good shots in the chat room, but I think he's out of material. It's like Monty Hall. He ran out of material. Yeah. All right. Now, can I start on the Jets?
Of course.
If you're a Jet fan, and I know. You want to say that the talent's not there and the injuries and this, that, and the other thing. If you're a Jet fan, I'm sorry, but you got to be PO'd that they lost this game on Sunday. As I said last week on the show, the shine is off the Patriots. They're not that good. They're not. Their defense is terrible. Terrible. But let me tell you what's wrong with the Jets from what I see, okay? They brought in Tim Tebow. Now, whether that was Woody's grand scheme, or whether it was the GM, whoever, they brought in Tim Tebow. Rex Ryan has absolutely no idea what to do with him because he's a defensive coach, and I understand that. And he's a very good defensive coach. I don't think he's the best defensive coordinator in the game like he thinks, but he's a very, very good defensive coach. Offensively, not so much. He brings in Tony Sparano to run this offense, to run this Wildcat, but you know what? Tony Sparano was nothing but an offensive line coach with the Dolphins, and he wasn't the one that designed the Wildcat with the Dolphins. And their Wildcat, they weren't scaring anybody with that Wildcat. So let's stop acting like Tony Sparano is some kind of – this isn't Bill Walsh we're talking about designing this Wildcat, okay? The Sparano thing was a failed experiment. Tebow, it's a disaster because they don't know what to do with him. If they know how to use him, I mean, what did they? Well, maybe we're going to use him at running back. For why? Well, you don't. They didn't use him at all. They're still using him on that stupid fake punt, which I got news for you. The rest of the league's kids going to catch up on. Oh, Tebow's in the game. They might fake it here. They're going to catch up on that. They're not using this guy at all. They're lining Mark Sanchez up out at wide receiver. And I don't care what anybody says. He's still the best quarterback on the team. I'd shit my pants if the Giants ever sent Eli Manning out the lineup at wide receiver. You don't want your quarterback out there.
Eli can't block Sanchez.
Well, there's that too. But Sanchez really puts fear in the 5'9" Mark Sanchez, right?
Yeah.
They have offensively. They just, this was just very, very poorly planned. Rex is a defensive coach, and he has no idea what to do with Tebow. And Sparano was just a disaster. I'm sorry. They're a disaster on offense.
I under Sparano, but you know what? And this is the fault of Rex, too. It's not that he doesn't know what to do with him. He doesn't want to use him. He believes that Sanchez is his quarterback, and that's why he has 8 plays designed for him. There was never any intention of getting this guy like he was in Denver and playing in. They didn't even come up with the plan. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And you're right, Sperano only had success against the Jets with the Wildcat, with that Ronnie Brown character.
Right. But like I said, he didn't even design that Wildcat offense. It was the quarterback coach that designed that offense.
Can we just lay it all on the table? The Wildcat is bullshit. You got to win
a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. You can't win on a gimmick. You got to have a passing attack and a running attack, either or mix of both if you really want to be successful. So stop. Everything's a gimmick. Get the hell out of here. That's not Rex Ryan's fault. He signed off on that.
Well, he's the head coach. I mean, the buck stops with him. And he is the one that will ultimately pay the price if, you know, when the time comes. If the Jets don't perform. I still don't think his job is in jeopardy this season.
Huh.
Unless they go, you know, unless we're talking like 4-12 and this team
right.
just lays a complete egg down the stretch where they're losing 40-0 at Jet Life Stadium. You know, if Ed the fireman jumps off the escalator after a 42-0 loss to the Dolphins or something. But this Sperano thing, we heard for 3 years was Schottenheimer's the problem. Are we sure about that now? But again, you're talking about a guy who was an offensive line coach, handpicked by Bill Parcells to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, offensive line coach. You know, those guys aren't known for their ingenuity, you know? And now he's trying to run this. They're a mess on offense, I'm sorry. But they had their chances to win this game. Even my dog agrees.
Yes, the dog and you and all that. I think that's why Jet fans are upset. And they should be upset. But let's not, I don't know. It's hard for me to get behind just the flip out. Maybe that was part of it, is that they were in the game and they could have won and they didn't win. It could be a whole different thing for the Jet fan if they're now 4-3 and atop the division. But now they're 3-4, and they lose a divisional game. They would have been 3-0 in the division. So it is a big deal. But the Jets, I don't know. I mean, yes, New England's defense is terrible, but their offense is pretty damn good. And to me, the Jets with Jeremy Curley and Stephen Hill and, whatever the clown they throw out there, they don't really have offense. And then Sanchez, to me, is just so frustrating to watch. And they should have a plan in place. Listen, maybe one of these games we're giving Tebow a start. So, you know, we're going to have to draw up a little bit more plays. I don't think it would hurt Tebow to start a game. At this point, I don't know. What the hell do I know? I just know the Jets find a way to lose every week, it seems.
I'm going to get your opinion on two plays from the Jet game. The first one is the fumbled exchange with Sean Green that Sanchez had to kick out of the end zone for the safety, which I heard a great line after that. Even Sanchez's handoff exchanges go incomplete. Were you okay with that play? Smart play? You're blaming Sanchez for the exchange? You're blaming Green? Where do you sit with that play?
I sit with, it's just something that went wrong. I'm not going to throw any blame on it.
Okay.
I haven't gone over with a fine-tooth comb and investigated it and gotten the detectives out there and watched
the
replay.
Why not?
Because, frankly, it's not worth my time.
Oh, okay.
I'm busy doing bits about guys who make bad predictions on this show.
What about the last play of the game? Well, the last Jet offensive play of the game. Sanchez drops back to pass, gets hit. Gets hit mid-level, fumbles the ball, game over.
Yeah. Well, he tried to throw it, which was stupid because he was going down. He should have just held on to the ball. It wasn't fourth down, as I remember. But the first thing, I thought it was a smart play that he kicked it out of the end zone on that first thing you mentioned, and then Jets held.
Teak.
What's the defense has to hold. And they do the job, and then you got, again, his big time, he's lost all his magic, you know? I'm just so down on him. I don't know. So, on that play, I think he should have held on to the ball and taken the sack. I don't know why he's trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, a bad decision on his part. I went back and watched that play a couple of times. 3 seconds from the time he snapped the ball, he had somebody on him. Split-second decision, and he made the wrong one. But Jet fans were killing him over it. I mean, they just
that's just, you know, that's something that happens in like a millisecond, you think. You know. Yeah, I guess, you know, add it to the resume. It's such a limp way to lose the game. Game's over.
Right.
Ball over. Congratulations.
Hope you saved it.
So, I don't know. Who do the Jets play next week? I don't even know.
The Jets will be taking on the Miami Dolphins at Shea Stadium.
That's... Yeah, Jet Life.
That's right.
No, that's not Jet Life. They're playing at the Miami?
They're in East Rutherford.
Yes, I was going to say. They'll be in East Rutherford.
Yeah, the early game.
It's another division game. Like, you know, Miami is just...
Miami's starting to roll a little bit. They've been playing better the last couple weeks, right?
Yeah, play a little bit better. But I got to say, you know, Reggie Bush has been playing a lot better. And they got that guy Hartline. Tim Hartline, wide receiver. He's having a very good year. And, of course, we know what's that guy's name? Anthony Fasano will have the game of his career because he always does against the Jets. Fasano is like the Jason fucking Chimera against the Rangers, the capital of Jason Chimera. Similar, having career days against those teams. So, yeah.
Oddly enough, the Dolphins have the best winning streak in the AFC right now. Two in a row.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, that AFC East is strong.
You know, the AFC right now is shaping up to be the Texans and everybody else. I mean, if the Texans aren't in the Super Bowl, barring some injuries, but, I mean, they're so far and above better than everybody else in that conference.
Right.
You know, I don't see it. It's theirs to lose. It really is. Baltimore is going to fake. They're going to keep.
They're a mirage. They were a mirage. They got creamed by Houston, and Houston really didn't use the tactics that the team that I had seen Dallas do and other teams do against the Ravens, who had lost but really should have won, which was run the ball down their throat because their run defense was so bad. And they didn't do it, Houston. I mean, you know, Arian Foster, they got a couple touchdowns, but they still emulsified Baltimore, whose offense looks so... Flacco looks lost out there. He looks like he doesn't know where he is. So, I totally agree with you with seeing the Ravens. And Houston was a good, you know, good win for them. You know, it really was, because I was a little worried about them after the loss. At least the week before, they lost to the Giants. The week before, the 2 weeks before, I don't know.
They lost to Green Bay.
Green Bay, that's right.
Houston.
Yes, Green Bay. That was it. That I had. I was worrying that maybe they were, you know, may take a little dip, but they bounced back nicely. They look like they're back in control. They found that J.J. Watt. Awesome I mean, he's just a sack man supreme. Yeah, they're on track to just be far and away the best AFC team. So, Howie just called Joe Flacco Joe Flaccid. That's what he looked like.
Yes, you're right. And if you ask me, as far as the NFC is concerned, best team in the NFC right now is the Chicago Bears. I think. I'm not a believer in Atlanta. And we'll get to the Giants in just a minute. I think Chicago's the best team in the NFC right now.
You got 12 points a game
on defense.
I know. They have, I think, 5 scoring touchdowns just on defense.
Yeah. Amazing.
They have a fantastic defense, but they also have Jay Cutler as their quarterback. And he's got a little bit of Tony Romo in him, where he likes to make the big mistake at the wrong time in the wrong situation.
Yeah.
But if Forte and Michael Bush can stay healthy and they still can get Braylon Edwards, I'm getting two guys mixed up.
Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, yeah. Braylon Edwards is on. They can always get those guys mixed up. They have a certain chemistry, but after that, but I can see what you're saying. Their defense is so dominant right now. It's hard not to pick everybody else. But listen, I don't think your New York football Giants have hit their stride yet. I mean, they played another game where it was kind of like, again, with the slow start, not firing on all cylinders. And it's Eli, man. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, what was your take on the whole game? And give me the scenario.
Well, all right, 27-23, another last-minute comeback for Eli Manning. But how many times are they going to ask him to do that? How many times? Eventually, every quarterback that's good in the last 2 minutes, eventually the well runs dry. Even for Eli, it's run dry a couple of times. I don't care how many turnovers they got on Sunday, this defense isn't very good. Sorry. It's just not. That is not a good defense. The first two times the Skins had the ball on Sunday, they went down the field at will. I don't think the Giants, they could have scored any easier if the Giants let them. Right down the field. Whatever Griffin wanted to do, whatever they wanted to do on offense, they were doing it. And when the Giants scored, and when late in the game, I guess, and made it 20-16, I said they're going to have to score again. Because I said to my buddy, I said, they're going to have to score again. I have no faith in this defense today. And sure enough, right downfield, Santana Moss, the revenge, getting revenge for his brother. He always seems to have the best games against the Giants. Scores the touchdown, and then the Giants come back with the big play to Victor Cruz. And win the game. But, and again, I've said this before, it's just like last year, this defense just hasn't seemed to hit its stride yet. I hope it's going to because, let's face it, there's better teams out there than Washington that could put up points on the Giants. And you got New Orleans and Green Bay ahead in the weeks ahead. And both of those teams, regardless of their records, we all know they could put up a lot of points. And this defense right now is just not very good. They're just not. Oh. I just saw Eddie's message. He had to step away for a second. I thought he was going to jump in. So, yeah. So, and the pass rush has been there a little bit. Griffin had him kind of running all over the place. He made that incredible throw on the Moss touchdown. On a 4th and 10, he scrambled out of trouble. You thought the Giants were going to have him. And then he got out of it, completed the big 4th and 10, and then they scored the touchdown. But, this defense right now, to me, they're not playing all that great.
How much would you give credit to the Redskins? They've got quite an offense. I mean, maybe they're not out at the wide receiver position, but Morris and RG3, I mean, they look pretty good. I mean, you know, these guys are not stiffs. And Morris has produced all year as a rookie, and RG3 is turning into a phenom. I mean, if he, you know, his question is whether his durability is going to hold up.
Yeah, all that, I mean, all that running fast.
Hey, you know, I mean, that, and it turns out that Santana Moss went from hero to zero. You know, he's the one that catches the touchdown pass, but then he's the one who coughs up the football that
right
basically ends it for him. But
and you know, I know the defense came up with 4 or 5 turnovers against Washington, I think it was, but you can't count on that every Sunday. You know,
right.
I didn't think their defense played all that well.
Well, I mean, you certainly would know them better than I. I mean, you know, you've been following. Who do you think are some of the main culprits of why that's happening?
You know, I don't know. The pass rush still isn't quite there yet after a big game against San Francisco. Again, you know, they were running all around, chasing Griffin around. But, I don't know, Corey Webster. I haven't been crazy about his play most of the year. Amakamura has been surprisingly better. He's played better. But, you know, it made a couple of nice plays on Sunday. Had a big big sack when they needed it. But, I wasn't, you know, the turnovers were great, but I thought, you know, the first half, they didn't look good at all. I really didn't think so. And they're going to have to play better. Going to Dallas on Sunday.
Oh, and Jerry Jones is guaranteed a victory in the offseason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I forgot if it was on the Giants said that they're going to use that as motivation. You need any motivation?
You need motivation to beat Dallas, exactly. Giants are undefeated in that building still, so we'll see what happens.
I want to know, baby.
What's that?
I hope it remains that way because I hate Dallas.
Yeah, oh, of course.
I mean, so, that's my people.
646-478-4692, the number, if you guys want to call in. We'll get to the picks in just a minute.
Where did Dan Murphy go?
Is he not in the chat room anymore? Oh, he left. He ducked out.
Well, let's talk about what happened last week, and we'll play the bit why he's not here. And if he's here, then we'll play it again. I mean, it's a minute.
Okay.
But Dan Murphy took me to task last week, making fun of me. And listen, you know, when I'm wrong and I can take a joke. Yeah, listen, I'm an affable guy, even when I'm being spat upon by the audience. And so he was kind of getting on me about my picks not being so good. Even though I think I was 2-1 the week that he picked on me. But he said that my sneakers can make better picks. Wow. So I kind of put him on the spot. I said, well, we should have your picks every week. He goes, well, I'll give you my pick. It's a lock. It's Tampa Bay. I think giving
+3.
Yeah,
+3
against New Orleans. So getting 3 from New Orleans. And, of course, as you know, when it comes to being a big mouth, when the big mouth actually comes out and is put in the center spotlight and put in the center ring, they usually fall on their face. And the New Orleans Saints, I think, beat Tampa by a touchdown. Now, listen, it was close.
Tampa actually scored on the last play, but they ruled
he came out of bounds.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but
yeah,
Vincent Jackson.
Maybe Vincent Jackson may have been.
Said he
so
stepped
he was
out.
Close. So me being the mean-spirited son of a bitch I am, actually, I can't really say this because I got a call from Jim saying, you know what, his pick didn't come through. I wasn't. But once he gives the order.
Execute General Order 66.
That's right. Now, I'm sure this is not going to be any kind of Dubinsky song, but this is a little ditty that I put together about Dan Murphy and his pick last week, picking Tampa Bay to cover against New Orleans, which they didn't, and some of the remarks that he made last week. So here it is. This is just tentatively titled right now, The Dan Murphy Bit.
Ladies and gentlemen in the center ring, Dan Murphy. He walks, he talks, he crawls on his belly like a reptile. He also makes awful picks.
Well, my pick of the week, I'll give it a pick of the week, is Tampa plus +3 against New Orleans. That's a lot.
Maybe his sneakers can pick better than Eddie, but Dan's clown shoes makes his picks for him.
Well, my pick of the week, I'll give it a pick of the week, is Tampa plus +3 against New Orleans. That's a lock.
Yes, he's currently sitting at 0-1 at the bottom of the pile.
So,
now he's back.
Well, Dan, I'm not going to play that back-to-back, but you have been served by my audio prowess, which is a lot better than my sports prognostications, but you just lost.
Like, the only thing missing, I think my sneakers could make a better pick.
Well, yeah. I did mention that in my things that his clown shoes must have been his pick.
No, that's what I meant. You just needed the Flintstone running feet sound effect in there.
Well, it's still not finished. I may have to add that in.
It's evolving.
Evolving as we speak. Dan could redeem himself. So that was that. Now, I heard some things before the Giant game, and they come from non-Giant fans, so I don't know if this was true or this was said just to get me. But is it true that young David Wilson said that he is going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he's...
What's that about?
It's just idiotic.
Why do they got to say stuff like that to these players?
I don't know.
All right.
It's just stupid. Okay. Shut up. Just shut up.
Shut up and secure the ball. Chuck
exactly.
Muncy is not the football Hall of Fame for a reason.
Chuck
Muncy. He's done like 500 times. So, all right. Now, I watched that game. I felt like the Giant fans were like kind of in awe of RG3 on some of those plays. Just like, I mean, it looked like, wow, this guy is a real deal. You know how, like, if it doesn't play in New York, we really don't believe it? Then
right,
you got
right.
This, I think a lot of fans are like, and I think it was OC who said that he's the best quarterback that they've played all year.
Well, he certainly probably had the best game against them. I mean, Romo had a pretty good game against him in week one, but that'd be hard to argue that a quarterback's played better than Griffin did on Sunday, that's for sure.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure. No, go ahead.
Well, I was, like you, shocked to see Dallas in the Ogie Ogletree show the first game of the year beat your Giants. And, you know, they had a lot of questions. Dallas, the Giants are Super Bowl champions playing at home. Are the Giants a better team going into this week than they were opening week? I mean, I know it's a tough time. Do you think that they have improved their game substantially, or kind of just in little drips and drabs?
Well, they're probably they're probably better. I still don't think they I don't think they've improved much on defense except in spurts. You know, they played a terrific game against Carolina, they played a terrific game against the Niners. And other than that, the defense has been average most of the time. You know, they've gotten some big turnovers at times, you know, especially in the Washington game, but you can't always count on those. And like Howie just said in the chat room, the Giants are the better team going into the game, but I thought they were the better team going into opening night. I was shocked that they lost opening night. Shocked. Shocking, as Ross Buckingham said in private parts. Shocking. Just shocking.
Yeah, I think the Giants are a little bit better with the running game, if you want on the offense side. I saw that Brown and continued where he left off after coming back from the injury, and Bradshaw has certainly gotten a little bit better. They had no running attack in game one.
Did you see him smack Victor Cruz in the back of the head?
What's wrong with him?
Cruz missed a block on that run. And Bradshaw
he's a mental patient. I think Stephen Colton had to calm him down.
He was yelling at Coughlin, too.
Yeah. He's yelling at everybody. This crazy man. Crazy. He's acting like a booty man. Kevin Meaney.
He's cray.
That shit cray. So, you know, I think the Giants are a little bit better team. Man, and boy, is Eli Manning. I mean, is he money? I can't think of a guy who has been more money in the last 3 years, 4 years maybe, in the final 2 minutes. Just amazing. And I got to throw, I sat here the week one of the preseason, right before the season started, tell you Victor Cruz is going to have the sophomore jinx. Now, a lot of it was sour grapes. I was fooling around, trying to, you know, get people to get a rise out of him. This kid is legit. He really is. They talk about Eli. I throw Victor Cruz right in that right at this point. I mean, I know this guy is just, I mean, he blew away from two receivers at the 40-yard line. He caught that ball at the Redskin 40. And he absolutely left those guys in the dust.
Yep.
And, to have a weapon like that, it's just unbelievable. You know?
One of the fastest guys I've ever seen play for the Giants, that's for sure.
Exactly. So he's a superstar as far as I'm concerned. He's up there in the top five in the league, especially with some of the guys not having such great years. But he's just so explosive. And when you got a quarterback who can deliver the ball to him, I don't know why it doesn't work earlier in the games. Why this offense stutters and stops and doesn't get the ball in the end zone. And you know, why? I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Is it just that they're a modus operandi? I mean, do you have any reason?
No. I got nothing. I don't know. They're tough to figure out sometimes, but you know, the end result is there. Now, I'll tell you the other thing. I expect the Giants to win on Sunday night because this team always I forgot to look it up because I meant to. I guess I could do it really quick while we're on the air here. But they've gone 6-2 in the first half of the season almost every year under Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And then things go sour sometimes. Where do I have Pro Football? There it is. But yeah, that's they go 6-2 in the first half. I think it's every year, but maybe one or two, that he's been their coach. So I, that's why I expect them to win. Let me see.
And it's weird that things go south sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think 6-2.
They were they were 6-2 last year, and then still wound up 9-7. 2010, they were 6-2. In 2009, they were 5-3. 2008, they were 7-1. Because they got off to that 10-1 start before Plaxico took a gun into a nightclub. 2007, they were 6-2 because they started off 0-2 and then won six in a row. They were 6-2 that year. 06, they were 6-2. And 05, they were 6-2. And then 04, I think, was Coughlin's first year, right? 04, and they were 6-2.
Wow.
Which really sucked because they fit. Wait, is that right? 6-2? I'm sorry, 5-3 his first year, because then they finished 6-10. After, because he made the switch mid-season to Eli from Kurt Warner. So, this is his ninth year, and five of the previous eight seasons, they've started off 6-2.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So.
And you would look at the team, and they, again, like, you know, they haven't really played like a cohesive game. Like, I don't know. I remember the Tampa game. They really just destroyed Tampa. But they, you know, like you said, the defense hasn't gelled yet to where it was that pass rushing dominant force it was that led them to the Super Bowl.
Right.
The 9-7 season, rather. And then the Super Bowl.
And you know, maybe it just takes this. Maybe it just takes them a little while to get in the groove. But you know, this is the midway point of the season already. So we'll see what happens. All right, where are we at? 646-478-4692. The number. You want to talk to Costa?
Sure. Why not,
Mr. AutoZone? What's going on?
Mr. AutoZone, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. I just found out there's one guy in charge of 15 hires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not
mean?
Working.
One guy in charge of 15 hires, what does that mean?
That means I got to wait my turn to start work.
Oh. They hired 15 people at once?
I guess they did.
Mary's here.
All right, so I don't get this. I mean, you got a job, now you don't have a job. You have a job that you got to wait till they go through the other people, 14 other people get fired before you go?
No, it's just a very slow process.
Oh. Well,
sorry. Get a job. All right. So anyway, give us something on the Jets and the Giants here.
Let's be honest, dude. The Giants secondary sucks. That's why people can score on the Giants.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say they suck.
It's pretty
strong statement. They're not very good right now, but Amakamura's been better. Amakamura's been better than I thought. Webster's been worse than I thought. They also missed Kenny Phillips back there.
Jim, who's the better quarterback? RG3 or Alex Smith?
Robert Griffin.
Thank you. That's why the game was as close as it was.
I don't know what are you saying? You're thinking, I don't understand.
Well, yeah, but who's got a better defense, the Redskins or the Niners?
The Niners, of course.
Okay, so
Yeah, I don't know where that's going.
They beat the Niners by 20. They beat the Redskins by 4.
Because I think that the Giants secondary didn't play that well.
No, they haven't played well. That's what I was saying. Hopefully they get. I don't know when Kenny Phillips is supposed to be back. Hopefully soon.
What? Terrell Thomas is done. I'm sorry, he's done.
He's probably done as a Giant.
Nah, I think he's done his career.
Could be.
4 million.
Thank you.
And Eddie,
how many years have the Jets have this play not to lose stigma on them?
39.
Since the guarantee.
I'm telling you, he sold his soul and his hair when he made that. Right after he made that guarantee, the Jets never won another game, and he never grew another real hair.
Well, in defense of the Jets, are they worth three? Not that this is a real argument, but under Rex, they had to be 3-1 in overtimes. But yes, you would think the Jets in that position would have. A more like nothing to lose, you know, been more aggressive, would you say? But yes,
they play not to lose. That's their problem. They play not to lose.
Exactly. They don't go for the, you know, they don't go for the gusto, as they say. They like to play it safe and blah blah blah. And guess what? You just lost the football game. So I agree with you there. For sure, 100%.
You think Sanchez is the quarterback come next season?
I hope. I mean, I really don't. I think he's going nowhere. Bam. He's regressing.
Is it him, or do you think he has no weapons?
I think it's a little bit of both. It does help that Dustin Keller came back, because, you know, Dustin Keller gives him that guy, that reliable guy. He knows what's going to happen. It's just I've seen so many inaccurate throws by this guy that I just don't. I think he's just lost his magic. You know, he had it from,
To be honest, the Pats defense sucks. I could score on the Pats defense.
Yes, you could, and the Pats definitely suck on defense. They're not good, as Jim pointed out earlier in this broadcast. Jim, what did you have to say about this?
The shine's off of them. Off of the Patriots. They're not that good. They're not.
I think it's
a combination of coaching, the offense, and he's got no weapons. I don't think he's comfortable at all in this hybrid, whatever you want to call this offense they've got. He doesn't have the weapons around him. He definitely looked a little more comfortable with Keller being back. But between that, I mean, he's throwing to Jonah Hill and Blueberry Hill and every other hill that, you know, who else you got there? Anita Hill.
Anita.
The part of it is the coach has
Henry
no confidence, Sanchez.
Henry Hill. Please.
If the coach has no confidence in Sanchez, why'd they give him an extension? Why?
I don't know either. All right, Costa, we're going to do the picks.
All right, toodles.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye. The one
I'm
and only. I'm punching out. Bye-bye. Let me cue the music and give out the proper accolades. Where's that song that I use? Here it is. Last week, the much maligned Edward Geich pulled it off a perfecto 3-0. He had Jacksonville. He had Chicago. He had the Dallas Cowboys. 3-0 for the week, bringing his record to 7-9-2. Let's face it, 7-9 used to win you the NFC West, so it could be a lot worse. I had a tie. I took Seattle plus 7. That was a tie. I took my Houston Texans, who have won every time I've picked them. And I took Green Bay with 5.5, so I was 2-0-1 last week, bringing my record to 11-4-3 and putting me on a six-game unbeaten streak.
Ah.
So, we are ready for week 8. Eddie, you get to pick first. What you got?
I don't have a link. That's what I don't got.
Oh, I didn't give you the... I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot I'm supposed to supply you with the link. Hold on. Here it comes.
I could possibly bookmark it.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. That would be great. Do you remember?
That'd be great.
Chris Farley. You remember that time you played with the Beatles? That was great.
Yeah. New York Giants giving one to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm taking your Giants.
Had success with the G-Men.
San Francisco, Sunday night, giving 6.5 to Arizona.
I think that's a good pick as well.
And the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, damn it!
Jacksonville, without MJD, the quarterback has a torn labrum on his non-throwing shoulder, even if he's healthy. Amelia Gerbart, whatever his name is, it ain't happening. Green Bay is about their game. I'm going with all favorites.
All right, so Eddie's got the Giants, the Niners, and Green Bay minus 13.5. That was going to be my pick, but that's okay. So all favorites, all NFC. I like it. All right, so I will change my first pick on the fly. I will take the Falcons plus 2.5 in Philly against the Eagles. Yep, against the turnover machine. I will take the Redskins plus 5 against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. So that's a tough pick, but for some reason I like Washington in that game. And I am going to take the Seattle Seahawks plus 3 against Detroit, because Detroit is terrible.
I told you they went three, but you got all over because they won a game.
What's that?
Last week I said they were in free fall, although they did win that.
Yeah.
What advice?
Well, you said they were in free fall, and I don't think you remembered that they won. That was the only funny thing about
right.
it.
Right. That was true. I meant it, I guess. It looked like.
But yeah, I watched
it
last night. That's a bad team. So there you have it. Atlanta plus 2.5. Washington plus 5. Seattle plus 3. Eddie takes all favorites, and I take all underdogs.
Well, you've been the man this year, so I bow down to superiority. In hockey news, Chris Kreider was suspended for boarding against Norfolk. He will be out of the lineup, serving a one-game suspension on Wednesday against the Albany Devils. So, but he will be available for Saturday against the Providence Bruins, a game which I most likely will be
attending. Is that a day game, night game?
Scary night game. It's like Haunted Halloween.
Oh, wow. Say hello to Mitch Beck for us.
I'm going to go with Mitch Beck.
He won't be there. He'll be out campaigning. Oh, wait. Murph's on the line. All right, take Murph real quick. Murph, we're just about to wrap it up. What's going on?
I got a lock for you.
Yeah, here we go. Go ahead, give it to us.
Believe it or not, the Jets laying 2.5 against the Dolphins. And I heard Eddie's little skit or whatever you call it, and it was very humorous. I was going to call, take my abuse, because I did run my mouth to Eddie. And I went today and I bought a new pair of sneakers. So it's a new week.
So did I. That's why I was 3-0 last week. I went out and
I was pulling against you, Eddie, and then you ever hang out with that goofy kid, bad talking to girls and all that, and you try to get him laid. Well, you finally got laid, Eddie, and you were undefeated. I'm very proud of you.
Wow. Thank you.
But so I heard your picks and I heard your skit, and I'm honored to be part of that show.
My pick of the week, I'll give it a pick of the week, is Tampa. I'm happy to have
there he is.
You.
There he is.
That's a lot.
Well, someone broke my lock last week, but I hope to repair it this week.
That's a lot.
So.
All right. Jets in a lock of the week. Murph's Lock of the Week, sponsored by PF Flyers.
Yes.
All right, Murph, take care. We'll talk to you next week. Eddie, always
you
a
got,
pleasure. Take it easy.
Take care, Shannon. Take care, Jim. Thank you for having me on this most wondrous show.
Couldn't have a show without you, Scooby-Doo. I'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right. Good night, everybody.